Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to Get a Grip. I'm Shane Bacon. Max Homa is sitting across from me as we continue on. We're at least 6 feet apart. Continue on with life. Before we get going, just a couple of things, because I feel like it's our responsibility and everybody's responsibility to remind people. There's just a few rules out there for what we're going through right now with the coronavirus. So do these things. It's not that hard. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. I've actually enjoyed this practice. I mentioned it last podcast. It's been a little therapeutic. I'm a fan of it. Don't go out of your house if you're sick. That one feels pretty easy. Don't touch your face. Now that one is the hardest one. That the one you're struggling the most with?
It's truly impossible.
Do you notice when you do it now?
Yeah, I guess you're more aware when you're doing it than you feel ashamed, but it's nearly impossible to stop. I try less to like put my fingers literally in my own mouth, but even that's difficult.
I've been trying to cut my fingernails more so that there's not a need to self.
Speaking of that, oddly, without the lack of golf, I'm a big nervous nail chewer. And or nail biter, not proud of it, but I can't help it. And with this news and the lack of golf, so the lack of nervous time, right, my nails are flourishing.
Your nails
for
are
the
great.
First time, they're they like look actually not nubs up against my, you know, the skin of my the tips
10,
of my finger.
10 feet away from me, I can see. And the last thing, and this one is, I think, the one that everybody in this country at least is having the hardest time with. Do us a favor, don't congregate. They're saying in crowds larger than 10 people. Guys, that means bars. I understand that you're bored and you're sitting in your house and you want to go to bars. Stop. We have just a few rules. And this is the one time. Here's a little silver lining. One of the few times in your life you're going to hear this. It's safer and healthier to drink alone at your house.
Yes. Take advantage.
Just have some pops at the house. Don't go to a bar. We need to try to get through this. And so we just wanted to remind everybody, as we are going to spend, you know, the next hour or so talking about golf and everything around it, that these are the things that are the most important now. And I just feel like if you're not mentioning that to start, you're not necessarily following what we're being told to do.
To point out, if you miss sports like we do, if you miss golf like we do, stop congregating. Like that's how we like slow this thing down.
Right.
That's how we get everything we love and miss back. Not to mention, obviously, the immense health benefits the elderly people and people with respiratory issues, they'll appreciate so much more. Obviously, those are much bigger, but your selfish issues that you're trying to fill by going to the bar with 100,000 other people, well, you can then supplement that with sports watching when we are allowed to go back and play sooner, if you guys can just kind of play your part.
Max, I got a great segue. Can I try it?
Segue it.
Yeah. Okay. Can I try right now?
Hit it.
If you want to watch sports, by the way, and we're segueing into something a little more fun than, of course, what's going on in our world right now, we are doing a watch party. It's this Saturday. We promised we won't bail. That was on me on this last Sunday. There'll be more details on Twitter and Instagram, so follow along. But it's going to be 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, the 2008 U.S. Open. Now, it was going to be a bit of an adventure to get everybody on the same page for this. Shout out to USGA. They put the 08 U.S. Open, of course, Torrey Pines. They put the full final round on YouTube and the playoff on YouTube. They did this last week for us as a little bit of a help and just, you know, trying to give people something to watch. We are going to be at our house, one of the two homes, watching the final round, commenting on social media, and we're going to have a live stream of us just sitting there enjoying Tiger's win. That'll be 5 p.m. Eastern. Now, it runs pretty long, so we're going to do the playoff. The plan is to do the 18-hole plus playoff on Sunday at the same time. That's a little bit shorter, obviously, with just two players. That is the plan. We're going to watch it. We're going to comment on it. We're try to have some fun and give people at least something to look forward to and give people an outlet to watch a little bit of sports. Max, I do want to throw something at you here, and I wanted to check your golf knowledge because you're pretty good at this stuff, better than I think people know. There were two guys tied for the lead after the first round at Torrey Pines in 08. Two players tied for the lead. Neither of them were Tiger or Rocco. I will allow you a guess. If you get both, I'll give you $100 right now.
Oh, boy.
$100 cash passed right over to you.
Robert Carlson?
No.
Okay, because he played with Tiger, I think, on Saturday. I was taking a mega guess.
Robert Carlson was in the hunt, 75.
Who? Brant Snedeker or something?
No, the two players that shot 68 on Thursday. 68
was the lowest score.
68, three under, 68, first round in 08. Kevin Streelman?
Ooh.
And Justin Hicks.
Wow. Holy cow. That's awesome. I know Streelman's played really well there. He played final group with Tiger one of the years Tiger won by like 100. But yeah, that's pretty cool. That's the cool part. I know a lot of people have been mentioning it, but about going back to older golf tournaments or games where we just don't really have much memory, especially in something like golf or Thursday. We haven't seen, you know, nearly a full broadcast. We've only seen little highlights of, you know, the top couple players that will end up in the lead on Sunday. So those are the cool little nuggets. I was going to mention this when we did the watch party. I wasn't watching the 08 US Open live. I was driving with my mom to Vegas for a golf tournament, and my family was sending or calling us and giving us updates on what like Tiger and Westwood and Rocco were doing. So that was a weird one because I've seen so many, you know, obviously great Tiger moments, and I've used to, you know, try and make sure that I left a time slot open to watch Sunday and watch Tiger win. And I've missed three huge ones. I missed the 08 US Open on Sunday. I missed the 05 Tiger chip in against DeMarco, which is, I mean, I was ashamed. I was at a golf tournament for that one. And I missed the Wai Yang Tiger battle. I know. I was in a place with 09
PGA, right?
No, 09 PGA. I was in a place with no service. And I remember driving and we finally got service, and all of a sudden my phone had a voicemail and I answered it and it said, Tiger lost, and I couldn't believe that was the most shocking news I've probably ever gotten. So this will be fun to watch for me. I mean, I know I've seen it now, but
when you watch a full broadcast again and you see, I mean, they show
totally different,
they show
right?
random players, they show guys that you know Justin Hicks, for goodness sakes. Ricky Fowler was an amateur,
right?
And he was T7th after round one, shot one under par, shot 70. That's one of the awesome. Few players under par. So this will be fun to dive into. We will at 5 p.m. Eastern. We are hitting play on the YouTube video. So if you want to watch, if you want to follow along, do the same thing. Hit play on your Apple TV if you have that, or your Roku or your tablet or whatever. And that's our plan for Saturday and Sunday this weekend. That will be what we do. So hopefully you guys can join. And if you have any questions, hit us up on social media, MaxHoma23 on Twitter. I am Shane Bacon on Twitter and Instagram. And he is Max.Homa on Instagram. And we are pushing Max to up the Instagramming because, you know, he do it. I'd say you're doing Yeoman's work with the Insta.
I mean, I'm doing very.
You think
average.
Not great?
I think average. I just haven't had a lot of material. I feel like when there was heavy material,
golf,
the no golf thing's putting a damper in my Instagram game.
So no golf. So you fly home on
Friday morning.
Friday morning, and your golf clubs, which you didn't
we
know where
shipped
they were,
them. Yeah, just got here. So today's Tuesday. It was a little. We were a little bit nervous. Not for any real reason other than I finally started to get antsy to go chip or something yesterday. And all of a sudden thought to myself, wow, I don't have any golf clubs.
Wait, I know we're going to get into Q&A and we've got a lot of questions from you guys. Thanks for sending them in. But I did just want to ask you to start. What is the plan? And I know the plan always changes because things are changing minute by minute, day by day. But, you know, you've had a few days off. You hadn't had to focus on golf. You focus on everything else in your life. What's your plan? I mean, are you going to approach the weeks if, say, things are normal? Are you going to approach these weeks like it's an off week and you're trying to stay sharp? What's your plan?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. That's a great question. I guess kind of like we would the off season, except maybe with the last month of the off season, knowing that this thing could, you know, we could get going in 4 or 5 weeks, I guess. The biggest changes won't really be so much prep at home. It'll be more schedule based. I might start playing tournaments I wouldn't have planned to, especially if we have a, you know, obviously we're going to have a long break. So if the first tournament back is the one I didn't plan on playing, I'm probably going to play it now. I think a lot of people are. So that'll change a little bit. But yeah, I mean, the cool part about golf is we can keep our social distancing a little bit. You know, we could walk or take our own cart and we can play and be outside where it's a little bit less sketchy. So I've gotten a few texts already this week about playing a little golf. So I'll probably keep it light and fun, as you know, you get to do a little more than I do, not hitting balls and practicing too much right away, just going to play a little bit and trying to stay remotely sharp. But it's definitely, this is the weirdest time, obviously not in just my golf career or life, but everyone's. And there's just so much uncertainty. You don't really know what to do.
Well, you think about, you know, these events, and we've heard, you know, Masters and PGA, and there was news about the US Open and some of the qualifying, and it's, you know, every day news is coming out about whatever. And I was thinking about it as more of a big picture thing. So in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, I mean, this will be, you know, 2020 is going to be this year where, you know, there's not going to be these sporting events, or there's not going to be, I mean, elections are being pushed back. It's just, it's wild to be in it right now, knowing that in so many years from now, we will always look back on 2020, you know, the spring, and how it impacted us going forward, you know, yeah. What it'll look like in a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. And it's scary. It's unsettling. I think we're all just trying to make the best of it, but it's tough. I mean, I hope you guys understand that the podcast will continue, and we will try to pump out as much content as we can, because I really do think podcasts are one of the few outlets available. Yes. Really. I mean, you could do it on the phone. You don't have to be in, you know, in the same place to do them. And I've been consuming. Oh my goodness. I started one. I need to find the name of it, because I do need to give the shout out when it's due. But I started a new podcast yesterday called Office Ladies. And it's two of the
Jenna Fisher and Angela.
Yeah,
awesome.
Have you listened to it?
So Lacey doesn't watch The Office. Office is my favorite show ever. So she was doing she used to listen to them when they would come out, and then we would watch the episode in order. And it was great. So we got to pick back up on it. Speaking of that, I have there's a Twitter account going around that's like, you know, The Office Coronavirus Edition, and I have one. Are you're an Office fan?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So this one would be, you know, Michael. This would be the script.
Gotcha.
So Michael colon, you know, quote. You guys get it? It's like a script. But Michael says something Michael says something to the effect of, "I can't wait till this coronavirus is over, so I can stop washing my hands."
So
end
true.
Scene.
Yes, that's it. That is an absolute Michael moment. You know, I was listening to the pilot of that show, and we're not going to talk about The Office for 45 minutes.
We could. Really
entertaining.
Good.
But they said that the British version of it, that the Michael character, which Ricky Gervais, could be basically a complete a-hole the whole time. But they knew that with the American version, he had to have some soft spots because Americans need a little hero. Yeah. And I don't know if you'd even consider Michael a villain, obviously. I mean, he's the main part of that show for 10 seasons. But they had to have, they said there were moments where, you know, he had to be a good salesman, or he had to have
compassion.
Had
to see why everyone.
Yeah, the Pam moment with the pictures. You know, he went to that. So there you go. That's your office information for the day. I had a golf tournament this weekend.
You did.
And we were going to discuss some stuff, and it's mostly just the things that go between my ears. It's basically our stroke play club championship in Phoenix here at Phoenix Country Club. It's called the Goldwater. I finished second to a guy that always beats me. His name's Nick Beach, and he played pro golf, and he's really, really, really good. And he's a great guy too. So, you know, it's a bummer. I feel like it's a lot more of a bummer when you lose to a guy that's a jerk than it is when you lose to a guy that's nice, and he's really nice. So it's like you shake his hand and you're like, I wish you were just a little bit more of an asshole. But
yeah, you want to be able to have that fire burn in your belly. But if you really like the guy, it's a lot.
I really
different.
Like him.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's great. So I have the and I want you to try to walk me through this mentally, because
I'm going to try to go Shane mode at some point and be the interviewer, so I could maybe
I get in my own way a lot when, you know, it's under pressure. You know, when you're under the gun, you're playing when it really matters. You're putting everything out, and I wanted to first ask you, how do you handle yourself going from practice around the tournament, or maybe you have a couple of weeks off and you get back into tournament mode? How do tournaments not intimidate you?
I truly think it's from experience and repetition. Like when I show up to a major or a bigger event, it feels a little different. I feel at times a little bit less comfortable and less ready for what's going to happen, even though it's still just golf and it might be a slightly different or harder golf course, but it's the same thing. I guess in those instances, I just try to remember all the normal golfer, whatever you would call them, the average golf tournaments I've played in, and just try and remind myself that it is the same type of thing. It's going to be 72 holes, or in your case, 36 holes of stroke play. You just got to go play the first hole. You've played Phoenix Country Club a ton of times. So I try to be very self-aware. My coach and I always talk about being very honest with yourself. I'll even tell Joe at times, hey man, I feel really nervous. And so he said, sometimes maybe just getting it off your chest so you don't try to be Mr. Cool or think that it's okay for it to be feel different. I think you just need to be honest with yourself and then do your absolute best through that honesty to then get your mind back in the mode you would feel on a random Monday playing with your buddies.
I always feel like even the simplest of shots, it's almost like I overthink them.
Yeah.
It's like an easy pitch shot.
Because there's a consequence, like a real consequence in your mind.
Right.
There isn't.
And I've done better. I've talked to my wife about this a little bit, where I feel like I'm better now than I used to be at understanding that it's not a big deal. You know, it's that whole, there's like the hats. I don't know who makes it, maybe G4, but.
Oh yeah, no one cares what you shot.
Yeah, no one cares what you shot. And I think that's such a great line because it's true, first of all. And even if I get frustrated because I'm a competitor. You know, I'm competitive. I want to win. If I'm playing a $5 Nassau, or if I'm playing for the club championship, or if I'm playing a USGA qualifier, whatever the stakes are, I want to win. If I'm playing you in Papa Shot, or if we're playing bags.
You beat me by a million in that, so that's an easy one.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, we're playing ping pong, whatever we're playing. I feel like you're the same way, where you want to win at what you're doing.
So did you feel like you changed your warm-up routine or anything for the tournament rounds?
You know, I did a little bit this week off of what you told me. You know, you said to me that it doesn't seem like I really need to hit a whole bunch of golf balls to warm up.
Right.
One of the problems that I have is that Phoenix has changed. We have a small range at our club. It's just it's an old school driving range that's about 240. Probably if you hit it over 240, it goes over the net.
So you can hit 9-iron.
So it's just like a little knockdown 9-iron over the net. But you can't hit drivers anymore to warm up. And I noticed both days it took me a long time to get comfortable with the driver. And I'm wondering if now knowing that, if it makes sense for me to go to go down the street to Papago and hit some drivers before I go over or whatever, because I like to see the driver. You know what I'm saying? I like to see my driver when I'm warming up just to make sure it's going right to left. I just want to see a couple of them and have
but
it in my
what's
my
interesting
mind.
Is the last few times we've played, you haven't hit any
but
balls.
But no stakes, you know?
But that's what it makes it seem like now you might be overthinking a little bit. I don't know. Again, this is what's so cool about golf, but nobody knows the answer. Some people don't need to warm up. Some people, I need plenty. I need to see.
What do you take? What do you take? How long are you, like, tournament days? Yeah,
it just depends on the facility, but I'm an hour, usually almost every time, hour, especially if I'm nervous, I'll go 15 more minutes early and just go chip around just to move. But I I'm with you. I need to see whether my driver decides that day to draw or cut. I'd like to at least see it. So I'm prepared. But see, for you, the last few times we played, you've played great and you haven't.
I didn't hit a range ball.
Yeah, and you also didn't drive it well the first three holes, like you just mentioned, or the first three driver holes, and yet it didn't seem to affect your score.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just you and I talked about this offline. I it's offline seems like such a like we worked
off
together.
The line.
Yeah, we were offline.
Yeah,
we were social distancing
via
offline.
The SMS text message.
And you said, I thought it was really interesting. You were talking about how certain people think flaws in moments like that are mental, when at times it can be small physical issues.
Yeah, that's what I believe. Again, like, there's no way to confirm,
like, technical
that.
Issues.
But I believe that, like, if you have a, especially like a slow putting stroke, or maybe not even slow, but just there's a hitch in your putting stroke, you have a little loop. When the adrenaline gets going, which it will for everybody, especially on the first couple holes and the last couple holes of a round that matters, or a club championship, or obviously a major. I think a lot of times people can say, oh, you choked, or nerves got the better of you. And I believe that they got the better of you because you have a little flaw here and there, and it speeds up. Now, I do think that the more repetitions you had under the gun with feeling that, you would be able to control it a little bit better. But I've always thought that I believe I have a very good putting stroke. And I've always believed that when I get and maybe this is how I trick my brain into it, but I believe that when I get really nervous, even when my hands feel like they're jello and my legs feel like they're going numb, I just remind myself I have a really good putting stroke. So what could possibly go wrong? Your touch gets a little bit off, but I mean, putts for me inside of 8 feet where touch is just so much less relevant. I feel like I don't have a major hitch going on there. Now, golf swing is so much harder because it is going so much faster. You look at, you know, you'd almost think that the bombers would have an even harder time. You look at the Rory drive he hit on number one at Augusta final group with Patrick Reed, and I don't think he's probably hit that drive in 10 years.
Right.
And it did, and I would almost guarantee you it was just a bit of nerves. And it's not that he was too nervous. It's just that things get going moving very quickly with your golf swing. And all of a sudden on two, he probably felt better and then bombed it.
Right.
But it's funny how in that moment, like you're everything in a golf swing needs to move together so in sync. And adrenaline makes everything move faster, and not faster equally, like faster separately. So now you have to be more comfortable. That's why Tiger has been so amazing, because he's done this with three or four different golf swings, but his body is able, his golf swings, I think, have just had so few flaws in them, in my opinion, that it's so much easier to repeat. And you're also never going to play 72 great holes. So right, you're allowed to make some mistakes. But yeah, that's what's so interesting to me about tournament rounds is your first couple holes, I'm sure you're nervous. Then you get in this middle section where you're like, oh man, I really found my stride. I think it's probably because you calm down. And then at the end, it comes right back up at you because the adrenaline gets going again. So it's either controlling the adrenaline, which I personally don't think is a thing, or it's becoming a little bit more technically sound, which I think would mask a lot of adrenaline errors here and there.
What's the nerviest you've ever been on a first tee? Is there one that sticks?
Yeah, it was the Rory
Wells Fargo.
Although,
third round?
Although I will say I did the Walker Cup and I got sat for the first, the morning matches. So the afternoon matches, I've been riding around watching all day, getting hyped up, loving life. It was truly really fun. And then I finally got the nod, like, hey, you're going. And I remember that warm-up session, I'm really stoked. Like, just excited to go have an opportunity to do something so cool. And I'm amped, and my coach was there, and I had a warm-up session like you would not believe. It was as good as you could do it. I kept looking at my coach here and there, and he's like shaking his head like, my gosh, like I couldn't miss. And I'm amped, and I had this one swing thought in my head. And I know a bunch of the guys had told me, you know, Gore even told me, he's like, dude, there's something weird about it, but you get on that tee and they announce you from United States instead of from Valencia, California, and everything changes for some odd reason. So I'm kind of thinking that, and I'm going there and I get on the first tee, and it's a drivable hole. It's at National Golf Links, is shorter. And I decided 3 wood because short of the green was a little better than even being, you know, pin high or long. There's OB left, but it's pretty far left. And if you carry it like 290, 300 or something, you can kind of get past this little road. And so I get up there and I'm like, oh, 3 wood's fine. Like I said, I've been hitting really good. I wasn't even worried about the out of bounds anymore. And I get up and they announce me, you know, Max Homa from the United States of America. And I look around and there's these American flags waving. And all of a sudden I am like, oh my God, it hit me. Like what everything Gore had told me hit me. And I get over the ball and I do my waggle. And I look up, and that's usually like, I like, this is actually a question I got, but I like to have one swing thought throughout the day, one or two, as long as they don't overlap. So I have this one swing thought. And like I said, it's the perfect swing thought for the day. And I get over it and I waggle and I look at the pin and I waggle and I'm like, what was the thought, man? Like I could not figure out what the thought was. And I'm sitting there like, I've been over this ball for forever. I was like, my mom's over there sitting in the corner, probably embarrassed. She's going to start crying because her son's going to be stuck here forever. So I finally,
this is where I live now.
This is where I live now. I live on the Hamptons. I don't pay rent. Fortunately, I'm just,
I can see shit. Yeah.
So I finally said, dude, you just got to pull it back. Like no swing thought, just pull it. So I swing as hard as I can. All of a sudden, like it just comes out like a rocket, and I absolutely melt the thing out of the middle. And I look up and I doing the thing where you can't find it, and it is way left, right at the out of bounds. I'm like, oh my God, but I didn't hook it. It was just a dead pull, rocket pull. I'm like, oh no. And it's going at that out of bounds, and it's a pretty blind, and I end up getting up there. Apparently it flew the out of bounds by like 10 yards.
Oh, you hit like 310.
310 in the air. This 3 wood went out there, went so far. And it was funny. I chipped it up on the green, missed, you know, like a 25 footer guy. I was playing, I can't remember his name, but he makes like a 20 footer, and it got so loud. And all of a sudden it hit me that I was in a fight, and I was almost offended how many of the GB&I fans were there. And I remember that's what calmed me down. I got up on the next hole, the next hole with the downwind. You can drive that one as well. Drove it, made a 40-foot eagle putt, and ended up.
Did you really on the second
hole?
Yeah,
and I ended up beating him 6-5. But that's what calmed me down was realizing it wasn't about, you know, me and the United States. It was like I'm still in a match. You know, it's you against me. It's not me and this cool moment. It's me against you, and I am not letting you beat me at this time.
You played a guy named Max. Do you know that?
Max Oren, is Max that what his name Oren. Was? Yeah, he was a nice guy.
You
too.
Went 5-3.
Yeah. Oh, God, 5-3?
You guys won
6-5.
You guys won your first. Well, it's Wikipedia. Might be
five
wrong.
And, no, you're right. 5.
You guys won your first 6 matches.
Oh, yeah. We stomped him. Shout out to Matt Fitzpatrick because he was very intimidating. He had just won the USAM. He was on their team. And I know we were trying our best to find a team that could kind of hang with all of his teams. But the rest of them, we did really well and played some awesome.
So golf. Sunday, you played foursomes.
In the morning.
Yeah,
all-time fun match.
And you played with Michael Kim. You guys won one up.
Yeah, we were down all day and won the last 2 holes to win it.
You won 17 to 18, par 5.
Yeah.
And then, I'm trying to see. Oh, you lost your afternoon singles match.
Well, that one was interesting because I think I got
to make the hole in one really quick?
Hole. What match? That day, the last match.
That was singles?
Like 3 or 4 down through 4, and then made a 1 to get down to like 2 or something. But yeah, it was funny that the last match was interesting. I was in one of the last couple groups, and I turned 8, and I look at Justin Thomas, and he was in one of the early ones, and he's walking over to the tee smiling, and then I see a cart full of some other guys. They're smiling, and I'm like, what's going on here? And I finally look up at the board, and we already won. So I had like 9 holes left and we already won. So yeah. I asked if we could be done. They wanted us to keep playing. It was a very odd feeling. It was definitely the most fun I've ever had losing a match. Like it was like, when this is done, we can go have some fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of celebrate, this is my segue. I apologize for drinking too much in the previous podcast. I was in my feelings. I didn't get to go to the Augusta.
The
players got cut short. And I probably overserve myself. So I that will not happen again. I already apologized to Shane.
Hey,
I want to be a pro, man.
We're going right into questions right now because this fits perfectly. First question.
Double segue.
Yeah, this is a double segue. It's like double jumps and checkers.
Sick.
Jesse Have asked if you could only drink one beverage besides water for 30 days, what would it be?
Oh man, that's a great question. Are we just like throwing health benefits out the window? Like
I'll be okay.
I love Dr. Pepper.
Straight up.
Actually, no. Mr. Pibb, I do. Fountain Mr. Pibb.
Wait. You like?
I'm a man of the people.
You're a Mr. Pibb over Dr. People. Pepper guy.
I had an old tweet about this,
Are you an RC Cola guy?
No, because I don't think it's as good. Plus, I'm big on like Mr. and Doctor. I think that's pretty cool.
You hadn't got that degree yet?
No. So this was my old tweet was, how do we not know that Mr. Pibb just didn't have the financial means to go through to get his doctorate.
I think
it's complete BS that now we just give Dr. Pepper, which I do love Dr. Pepper, but he's just been given all these opportunities just because maybe his family had more money.
All right, so now healthy. So now you're going to be healthy. What are you going to go
healthy
with?
Healthy apple juice. I love apple juice, man. Apple juice is my airplane drink.
Is
order.
It?
Yeah.
You know, we do airplane drinks.
What's your
airplane? Crayon, vodka crayon on the fly with the lime. Okay. But crayon's good. Now they have the whole idea of flying just seems so irrelevant now. I've noticed they started selling on American. They have these Dasani sparkling waters with lime.
Wow.
I'll do the full can of that. Give
wow.
me the full can.
Give me the full,
give me the full can, and then you get the cup of the ice, which I hate when they bring the extra cup, by the way. I always give it back. if I was going to do it, I would do... I think Diet Dr. Pepper is the best drink on the planet.
Really?
Love.
As someone who I love Dr. Pepper, I do not like Diet.
Oh my gosh.
Interesting.
Diet Dr. Pepper is unreal. Drink it all the time.
Do you like it more than Dr.
Yeah,
Pepper?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I think Diet Dr. Pepper is my favorite drink in the world.
This is like a lefty-righty thing. I've never...
I think it's easily the best diet drink.
We are different. I used to think we were similar.
This is really throwing us off. I would probably do that. And then health-wise... I mean, it would be some spark. I mean, I drink like Perrier and stuff like that.
But that's water. Come on.
Okay, so you're saying
give me like a
water.
Flavor, like actual drink. That's somewhat healthy.
See, I mean, as I'm drinking an iced tea, I'm not a huge iced tea
guy. I don't like iced tea. I'm an Arnold Palmer. I like sweet tea if I'm in the South.
Yeah. And then,
but that's essentially just drugs.
Yeah.
So it's just all so much sugar.
I would say purple G2 Gatorade.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I could drink Gatorade all day.
So
like
good.
Gatorade is so good.
What are in the cooler when you guys on tour?
It depends. Great question. Depends. Usually water. Not usually. Always water. The funny ones is when we have like Cokes and Sprites because only the caddies probably, drink them.
I was going to say they're never touched.
Like, I will say though, there are days like we are in somewhere super, super, super hot and you are drinking a water a whole. And at some point, like you just don't want to drink just the taste of water. It starts to taste like something. Like you're just over it. You know you need to, but I'll walk over and I like Sprite better than Coke. And I'll walk over, I'll open a Sprite. And this is, I'm saving, you know, people's hearts and all the blood clots through the sugar. I know it's going to sound bad. I will take one sip of it, swish it around my mouth, and then I'll pour it out and throw it out.
Will you spit it out?
I'll drink it. I need like something to change it up.
I know people are going to be mad at me, but if you win like five more events, I want you to start spitting it out. Like, I don't need this
in my body. My body's a
this
temple.
This thing is a temple. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I'm not quite that
big. I'm turning it over to you for questions now. And these are going to be, just so you know, there's a good mix of plenty of golf ones, and we appreciate all the golf ones, and hopefully some mixed in.
Would
that are
you
not
mind
golf.
If I did my quick questions for Shane?
Sure.
I have. They're not very many.
So these are just quick
reaction questions that came up with because I've had time to actually prepare for this. So, Shane, running or biking?
Running.
Ski or snowboard?
Ski.
Would you rather kite?
I've got a rant about skiing. I just want to save my rant about skiing. I went skiing in my whole life as a kid. We'd go to Winter Park, Colorado. My parents grew up in Colorado, and it was like a little nostalgic for them.
Is it closed in the summer?
No, it's open.
Winter Park?
It's open. They actually got a great little 27-hole golf facility up there.
Ironic.
I like it. So it's a great little ski town. Skiing. People aren't gonna like this. Skiing is the most pain in the ass sport in the world.
I could not agree more.
Take clothes on, put them off. You're never comfortable. You're always either hot or cold. Your feet hurt. You know, I'm not buying skis. I live in Arizona, so I'm not gonna own skis or ski boots. I'm always renting.
Yep.
That's a process. That's terrible. Walking in ski boots is the worst thing you can do for your feet and just in general walking. It's terrible. And basically, I've always felt like this as an adult. Skiing is just a means to an end. You're trying to get to opera ski or whatever they call it. So you can go have a couple of cocktails. Like that is fair. The end game of skiing. I haven't been skiing in years, man.
Yeah. I stopped because I almost got hurt many, many years ago. And now, but see, now I'm down with people who want to go skiing because like you said, I will just go sit in the lodge and drink like hot chocolate and with Bailey's or something way cooler instead of having to actually like fight the slopes and risk life or death.
I'm sorry. I messed up your.
No, we're good.
Go ahead.
So would you rather cut it or draw it? Golf ball.
Cut it.
All right. Rather win the U.S. Open or the British Open? I just realized, guys, as I said this, that you work for the USGA's type golf tournament. So this is an obvious answer.
You know what? I'll say this. I
guess you also were from
I'm going to throw
St.
this
Andrews.
In there just to, so I can so it doesn't sound like I'm just being a corporate shill that I normally am. I'm going to answer U.S. Open. I will say this: if the Open was at St. Andrews with my caddy history and all that stuff, I'll pick an Open. On the old course, number one, I think.
Okay, so that's would you rather win the Open at the old course or rather win the Masters?
Yeah, I think an Open at the old course is number
one
for
everything. That's a great answer.
I just feel like it's, you know, it's the home of golf. I have obviously a close relationship there, caddy, and just it's my favorite place in the world. And it would be, I mean, I couldn't imagine walking up 18 and having like a two-shot
lead. I hear that. All right, speaking of that, another segue. One major or five tour events? Would you rather win one major or five tour events? I get this question a lot and it's very difficult.
Five tour events, I think.
We're on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm with you. All right. LeBron or MJ?
MJ.
Okay.
Does that bum you out?
No, it doesn't. Nothing bums me out. I think Michael Jordan's awesome. Rather be able to dunk regularly or have one hole in one?
Dunk for sure.
Dunk for sure.
Yes.
But you don't play that much basketball.
I know, but I mean... Dunking's one of those things.
That's the first one that shocked me that you said
that. If you can't do it, I in my heyday, I could on a good day grab the rim.
Yeah, okay.
I couldn't dunk a ball, but I could grab the rim. I've always felt like casually being able to dunk in a pickup game has to be such a
blast. It's got to be so fun.
I couldn't imagine.
But then didn't you come back to Sydney and say, I dunked today?
But I know, I just think it'd be so, I just feel like the putbacks and you throwing down and everybody's in the gym, you know, especially being like a 6 foot white guy. Yeah. Like, who is this guy? You know, I'm like putting a ball back. People will be like, whoa, this guy's crazy. That would be fun.
All right. Interesting. All right. Would you rather win your match play club championship or your stroke play club championship?
Stroke play, I think.
More.
More fun, but I think stroke play is a little bit more of a test. I mean, I think that's why, as much as we complain about
the
Olympics.
You
know, and being 72 hole stroke play.
I'm with you.
I posted stuff. I feel like we tend to crown our champions in 72 hole stroke play. So I feel like even if it's 36 hole stroke play, it would at least, you know, you can make a 10 and win a match play.
Okay. Agreed. Last one, more impressive, Tiger's cut streak or
your win at the Wells Fargo? I'd say your win at the Wells Fargo.
That's too easy.
Okay, sorry.
Mine actually is probably more impressive because literally nobody thought it was possible. More impressive, Tiger's cut streak or Joe DiMaggio's
cut streak? I think it's the cut streak.
I think it's the most impressive in the world, but that hit streak is wild.
You know, I think the only thing in sports that I find crazier than the cut streak is Ripken just playing all those games in a row. Just because I understand you get to a point where you know the number's there and you're kind of aiming for that number. I'm not going to miss a game. But you've got to think, you know, game 800 or game 1,020 or game 2,050, when the streak of how many games in a row you're going to start wasn't even a thing on anybody's radar, just continually playing was pretty dang impressive.
We'll take this off the line, but I have heard conspiracy theories on some of these things.
Wow, on the Ripken thing. Okay, all right. Well, there you go.
Take it offline.
Conspiracy theories.
Alleged.
Do you have a question?
Okay, so I do have a question, and let's just jump
right
into this.
Thank you for those, by the way. I thought that was really well done. See, this is Max Price.
This is me trying. All right. This is from Nathan. God, why do I always pick people with the hardest names to pronounce? Nathan Berendrigd.
You know what the broadcaster rule on the misprint?
No, I would love to know the
rule. All right, so this is a little broadcaster thing, and you'll now hear it forever.
Call Keith Mitchell Kevin Mitchell and just completely botch it?
If it's a really hard name, you just say it super fast.
Okay. So this question is from Nathan Barron. And
perfect.
He said, would you be in if the Zurich Classic switched to a player and caddy two-man team instead of two PGA players? And would you let Shane caddy for you if this were to happen? If Shane wants a caddy, I would play with Joe, I'm guessing.
Where would you guys fall? First of all, would that be fun for you?
Would you enjoy it? No offense to all the PGA guys, that would be way more fun.
Okay.
I love playing golf with Joe. I think we'd have a good chance because Joe's quite good.
Right.
Would I let you caddy for me? I mean, absolutely, if you'd like to.
Yeah, no, I mean...
It might be easier for you to caddy for Joe because lefty clubs, lefty caddy, you know how to clean up.
I mean, I know I'm not very smart, but I think I can figure out the lefty and righty thing.
It's hard.
My dad, I know this has been a topic of conversation on this podcast. I'm 36 years old. My dad still parks on the incorrect side with the golf cart every time. Like, Dad, I'm a lefty. Still a lefty.
That's amazing.
Still a lefty.
I kind of love that. I'm going to start doing that just
every time. Like, hey, man, like, you know the guy you taught the game to? Still hit it from this side of the ball.
I get proud every time I drive on the correct side when I've got a lefty in my car.
For sure. It's like when you do something good for other people and inside you're like, man,
so
I did it right.
It's so simple,
when you park
though.
On the right side, you're like, nice, I nailed it.
I did it again.
So where would you guys, if Golf Odds was ranking you and Joe team-wise, would you guys be in the top 10 betting favorite?
10, I would bet. I mean, I know Tesori's really good and I've heard Webb Simpson also is quite good.
Yeah.
Still
out. Is Webb Simpson a Hall of Famer in your opinion?
Dude, I kind of think he is.
I think so too.
Major and the Players, and he's won quite a bit, and he's not done yet. So that I don't know the stipulations for Hall of Fame, but I would think so. He's been, in the top 8 to 10 most consistent players over the entire Tiger era, and then some. And then, like I said, and he also has two humongous victories.
Well, so he won his first event in 11, and he won twice in 2011. Won the Wyndham and then won a playoff event. U.S. Open, obviously. Shriners, Players, Waste Management this year. So he's got 6 wins.
So 6 is probably too low. If he has 10 in the two, I bet you he would get in. Now, I would vote him in, but
how many,
10 in the two, I think, is probably the threshold.
How many top 10s does Webb Simpson have in majors outside of his victory?
Oh my gosh.
Over his career.
Can you tell me how many he's played? what are we going to say? 60?
Let's say he's played 40 in 40.
I would say, you're making me think it's low. I'm going to say 9.
2.
Oh, man.
2 top 10s.
That's crazy. What a winner.
T10th at the 2018 U.S. Open.
I guess 9's not low.
T5 at the Masters last year.
This is what's so difficult with majors is you've only played so there's so few to play.
Right.
That was a horrendous answer. But
what's that? 9?
Yeah, 9 out of 40 would be amazing. It'd be 1 in every 4 almost.
What is it? How many majors have you played in? Do you what let's
I've
see what
played
you
in 3.
3? Let's see.
No, I played in 2. 2. PGA and a US Open.
Yeah, there you go. 2.
Yeah, 1 as a
Golly, you played the one in Marion. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. I got a question for you.
All right, hit it.
Here we go. This is from, and this is a little love to our good buddies at the Shotgun Start, because this guy's Twitter account, he asked us a lot of stuff.
Brendan's
this is Brendan's cough. Okay. Of course, Brendan Porath. If you don't listen to Shotgun Start, I've told you this before.
This Twitter account needs a super self-quarantine.
Brendan's cough. Yeah, it was before it. You. How about that? They started this Twitter account 2 months ago. What board game would you not want to be without during the quarantine?
I'm not a big board game guy.
Do you and Lacey haven't played a game, or will you play a game over the next week or so?
I mean, listen, the quarantine is young. So
I know.
We might be playing some games, like some board games or whatever.
But what did we play the other day? What was it called? It was a dominoes game.
Yeah, game. And
what'd you think? Were you a fan?
Is that a board?
No, I don't think so.
I guess it's not a board game. I love that game. That game was really fun. Thought provoking. Your wife yelled at me the entire time about how I was breaking the rules. But then again, I yelled at your friend.
You came over, you brought us lunch today.
I apologize to him, though. I apologize.
So, no, I'm saying you, Cindy hasn't apologized.
She didn't have to apologize. She's a lovely lady.
She was just grilling you on the rules.
It didn't matter what I did. I got yelled at. And I was right every time. That's why I apologize. I was wrong when I got over competitive and I was doing something dumb. And I got a quick moment of frustration with Shane's friend, even though I don't think he did anything wrong, and I will apologize endlessly. it was quite mild. Hope everyone gets that. But I did apologize. Only once. Cindy didn't let me live it down. I guess if I had one game that I had to play, especially in quarantine, it would be Monopoly, because it lasts forever.
It takes forever.
What's your?
We do.
We're a big board game guy.
We're big Yahtzee people.
Oh, I do love Yahtzee.
A good
Yahtzee gets
game.
Old to me.
You get bored of it.
Like over like. Two, like three times, I'd probably start to get bored.
So that would be your number one board game. You know what I mean? Okay. There you go.
That was really good.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, let's just segue to anything else.
Matt Gaines asked a good question. I have hairy arms. Oh, God, how do I turn that into a positive?
Can we go back to your stupid jokes?
let's hear
how do you turn it into a positive? Just tell everyone you're manlier than everything else or everyone else. I mean, because I know that that's just this weird common thing that you say if you have a lot of hair, you're just a real man. Not sure what that means, but just say it.
Okay.
Also tell people that you are best friends with or related and can get perks with the beef jerky guy, Jack's Link.
Smart.
I mean, just kind of turn into that.
Have you talked to them at all about any sort of a sponsorship golf deal?
No, I'm just waiting for them to approach me.
Okay, so that's how you work with sponsors?
But my cousin obviously works with them, so I don't know if they look at it as nepotism. See how you're just flipping around. So then also, I don't know. You just try just never look at any pictures of yourself.
Now, I have a... And this positive. Is from a guy that doesn't have hairy arms that's friends with you.
Congratulations.
No problem. I would say one thing to make sure you don't do is... Well, first is if you're going to be on a cover of a publication, I would say... Maybe pick the picture that your hairy arms aren't prominent in like 60% of the main picture. And the other one is if you're going to be on social media with, let's just say, a commissioner of a sports, you know, organization, maybe pick the filter that they use.
Are you mansplaining to me how to live with hairy arms?
Just saying you need to, the filter is important. Shane. The filter of the swipe on the Instagram filter, you want to go with. Like Oslo, I think, is the one to go with there.
At some point, maybe if you keep finishing runner-up in your club championships, people will take pictures of you without you knowing
there's a real sad picture of me somewhere, I'm sure, walking off the golf course, head down.
All right, I got a question. I'm actually curious your take on it. This is from Todd Pierce. He said, I think last year you came out pretty strongly against sports betting and fantasy golf. Has your stance changed at all? Seems like it will help grow the game and get more viewers. PGA even has a sports betting site as a sponsor now. Can you expand on this? if you want to, have you talked with or heard other guys talking about it? Guys all the time talk about it. This question I really wanted to bring up because it's a bit misconstrued. At the WGC Memphis last year, I tweeted that I was, I don't care about your fantasy lineup.
Right.
I didn't explain myself well enough. I love the sports gambling for golf. I love the fantasy golf for golf for the same reasons. It's brings eyeballs to the game. I also think it's quite fun for everybody who's doing it. I just don't need you to tell me, hey, you know, jerk, why'd you bogey the last hole? I also don't like that. So that's what I don't like about it.
It's a little, this is a fact I'm not sure a lot of people outside of the biz understand, but when you bogey the last hole, it actually affects your
job. Yeah, it affects me too. So that's that you could talk about it. You can complain to your friends about it, but please don't at me on social media that I mess up your lineup. So to that point, though, to go back, I love it. I love the fantasy golf stuff. I love that people can bet on golf. I hope that they keep pushing this going forward. I just want everyone to know that that part was about people being
grilling
mean
you
to
for,
me. Right. Like, that's all that was. I hope they keep playing. And honestly, at this point, I've gotten enough of it, and I guess I had to grow up too. Like, it doesn't bug me as much, but I guess my point I just want to get across was that. But I was curious, do you have any qualms with it?
I thought when it was announced, you saw there was kind of two camps, right? There was the camp that embraced it and was excited about it, and then there was a camp that thought that it could bring negatives to the actual play. You know, if some guy shouted,
yeah, so I'm curious about that. I
actually didn't think either was an issue. I didn't think you were going to get, you know, I'm sure if you look at numbers that it will grow golf in some capacity. I'm not sure if it's going to be 100,000 people coming that way, but I do feel like outside of football, at least from, you know, being a guy that's focused a lot on golf and pro golf, it's felt like fantasy golf has done as good as anything outside of football.
For sure.
I don't know a lot of people that play fantasy basketball. This is just personally. I don't know. And you and I are basketball
fans. Well, golf is the simplest way to do the fantasy sports world. I mean, it's so simple. It's me against somebody else.
Do you play, you play fantasy football, no. I'm assuming. You don't?
No.
Did you ever?
No fantasy.
You never did fantasy football?
I did it back in college.
Okay.
Yeah, in college, I think we played fantasy football.
No interest, huh?
I don't really... It makes me focus on too much. My brain becomes overstimulated. And then I get competitive over, and then, you know, someone could get hurt and now I look like a dummy.
Well, I won one of my fantasy leagues this year and you don't win anything.
Yeah.
And I stress about it all year long. And I won it. And I was so excited to win this thing. And then, of course, the next day you think to yourself, I've spent so many hours.
Yes.
I have so many other things I could do.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But on the flip side, while I'm doing fantasy football, I absolutely love it. And you have, you know, football on Sunday and Mike Evans catches a touchdown pass and he's on your team from Tom Brady apparently coming up.
Yeah.
And you get so fired up. The fantasy golf thing I think is great.
It's great.
I just feel I'm a little bit, you know what, dude? I'm kind of middle of the road on all this stuff. You know, I don't get really excited about the prospects of it changing the landscape of professional golf. I understand people will be excited about it.
People have been gambling on golf for far longer than fantasy golf. So that's when the fantasy golf world says that they are our target audience. I don't think that that is necessarily true. I think it is a great asset to have that it's more public to do fantasy golf now. I think that's great.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. All right, so I've got a question from, and this is from, I went on Instagram. By the way, if you don't follow Get a Grip on Instagram, follow it at Get a Grip Pod. What are you even doing? So these are from people that sent messages in, and this is J. Sam Wong, and he said, curious, Max has mentioned that he didn't look at the leaderboard on Sunday at Quail Hollow when you won last year. There's a story about William McGirt and Tiger calling somebody stupid for not looking at the leaderboard. I'm not sure about that story, but it said, Max, now that you've won a tournament on the PGA Tour, do you look at leaderboards on Sunday? You've obviously had some opportunities this year to win, and you've been in contention late on Sundays. I mean, are you checking that stuff all the time?
Yeah, so I am. I am in the same camp that McGirt and Tiger are in. I always look at leaderboards from Thursday all the way on to Sunday. The one on Sunday at Quail Hollow was a special or a more unique reason. I was in the last group playing with Duffner, and we were tied for the lead with Joel Damon, and it was just us three. Then there was a bit of a jump, and I thought in my own head that, and just through feel, that I would already know what one person's doing, and I would probably be able to see what another's doing in front of me. And I didn't want to get worried about if Rory started to make a run, or if Rose started to make a run, or if Perez started to make a run, because I felt like I had a cushion. So I thought that if I played my golf and played well, I would know that I'm leading the golf tournament. And I did look, but I had to deal with myself. I wouldn't look till I was done the 14th hole. And that's where, you know, I ended up getting to the 14th hole. There's a rain delay. So we looked, or asked Joe after, before I ended up hitting that putt, what it was at. But I mean, I was three or four under at that time. So I knew, and I was playing with Duffner, who I was beating at the time as well. And I had seen that Joel, just from watching, that he had made a bogey on a hole. So I had a feeling I was winning, or I pretty much knew I was winning. I didn't want to, in that exact situation, did not want to get caught up in wondering what Justin Rose and Rory and Sergio, like the big hitters, were doing. I didn't need that, because Rory was going to have to shoot some dumb low to catch me. And that's only if I didn't play well. So that's how I looked at it. So I'm a big scoreboard watcher at all times. I like, you know, like Tiger said, I like knowing what's going on. I'm curious. But I also, I do think that there are times, and I bet you he would say it too, where when you're doing your thing in certain situations, I almost think that looking at it, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing, but it just, it's unnecessary, especially when you're kind of vibing the round. If I promise you, if I would have been even through a few holes or one over and been on 12, I would have broken my rule. But I thought that at that time I was playing good golf, and I had this idea in my head. So it seemed stupid after I birdied 10 to look at a leaderboard, because it's like, I'm winning this golf tournament. Like, I have to be winning this golf tournament. I would have heard enough roars to know I'm not winning this golf tournament.
You know how the players in basketball know when the TV timeouts are coming up?
Yeah.
I've never thought of this before. Is there holes that the leaderboards are on that,
yeah,
you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
What holes are,
well,
they?
I guess you don't really chart it, but yeah, it's interesting. Certain,
like, it's not like after every 14th hole there's
no. I've never even like looked at it like that. I would assume it's where they have the real estate to put them, but you don't really notice till like maybe you're fighting for the cut on Friday or maybe Sunday, that you're all of a sudden in the mix where you're like, man, I haven't seen a leaderboard in like four holes, five holes. And what then all of a sudden you come around, and yeah, like, but it is, it's all also when you're playing well, it's kind of a rush. At Riviera, I get onto the 15th green, and I hadn't seen one since 13 green. Obviously that's not a big amount of time, but 13 was playing really, really difficult. And I turn the corner and get to finally see the leaderboard as I touch the green, and I've got a birdie putt, and it says, you know, Scott, whatever, homo, one back. And it's like, okay. So it's kind of a rush to do it like that as well. But I just don't, like I said, Tiger is the king of winning. He knows best. I bet you there's been times he hasn't worried so much about the leaderboard. Just certain unique situations. And that's how I looked at that. That final round, to me, I had it in my head how I was going to win the golf tournament. And if I got off to a good start that day, I didn't feel like I needed to worry about what the big guys were doing behind me. This was a question from Brian Bailey, 58, and
By the way, I'm noticing a lot of the names you're going with now are pretty simple.
Way simpler.
Have you been deleting? Are you
no,
deleting?
But I think I got lucky. I'm getting really lucky. So this was actually probably my favorite question I've ever gotten on this year.
Wow.
Hardest shot on tour for you, and why? 16 at Phoenix, 7 at Pebble, 17 at Sawgrass, 12 at Augusta. That's kind of mean, Brian, but
thanks a lot,
I'll try
Brian.
It at some point. I really like
you
this okay? question because Joe.
Do you want to take a break or are you good?
No, I'll be all right.
Okay.
I'll cry through the answer. I love this question because Joe asked me the same thing after 17 on Thursday at Sawgrass. He said, he asked me, he goes, were you more or less nervous than 16 at Scottsdale? And I thought that was a great question because I even thought about it. I was not jacked up at Sawgrass at all on 17.
Now,
I don't know why, but I had
there was no wind that day, right?
It was laying down completely. Yeah, it was a little in off the right when we were, but it was honestly, in general, pretty much dead.
Right.
But it didn't have any, how I put it was, at Phoenix, the moment you get in that arena, your heart rate goes up a ton and your adrenaline is jacked up. But the difference is I am not nervous consequentially. The worst score I'll probably ever make I mean, this will bite me at some point, but ever make it Phoenix is a 4-on-16. I mean, I'm going to make a 5 the next time I play it. But it's
hey,
a
Tim,
4-on-16.
Cut that one. I want you to cut that audio. Let's save it for
save
next
it.
Year.
Be great. Next
You're going to plug it in the lip of the bunker.
Yeah. First we'll be doing a podcast on Saturday morning of Phoenix because I will not have a tee time. But you are legitimately juiced. So at 17 at Sawgrass, I wasn't juiced at all. I was a little anxious about the score I could put up, but I didn't feel 1 ounce of nerves in that sense. I didn't feel the adrenaline rush. So I thought that it's actually harder to hit the shot at 16. 7 at Pebble is honestly, it's probably one of the easiest shots.
Right.
Ever.
So is there one shot in particular that you've played throughout your career that, and it could be a major hole, but is there one shot that you've hit on a hole and you go, this shot gives me the willies? Like, you think
yeah.
about it a couple
I
holes
mean,
before you get to
16
it.
16 at Phoenix, it doesn't give me the willies. Like I said, this I guess you're. It's hard to decipher what kind of willies we're talking. But the one at Phoenix, like, I just feel like my body is different. Like, I have so much adrenaline running through me that it makes me feel like a different guy. The biggest willies I've ever gotten, though, and I ever will, I'm assuming, is 18 at Sawgrass is, like, the hardest tee shot ever. I don't, even when the wind's off the right, it's a hard tee shot. Now, it's not impossible when it's off the right, but it's just a tough hole. So that one, again, because that mixes a little bit of consequence. I imagine if I was coming down on 18, whether I'm in the hunt or in a decent position, I'd feel quite nervous. So
if you had a 3-shot lead playing 18, what would you get off the tee?
Well, 18 would be, see, that's where I think 18 would be easier than 17. Because if you had a 3-shot lead, you could just go right
just
with a 4-iron and
then
play it around.
Okay.
17, you have nothing to do. Like, you have to hit a good shot at some point. So that's where it's hard. But that's where those holes make you, I guess, more anxious would be the better word to say, instead of jacked up. So that's why I think 16 at Phoenix is harder. But it's not a harder shot by any means at all. Like, the 17 at Sawgrass is a considerably more difficult shot, considering if you miss the green, you are probably making a
you
double.
Five,
whereas,
right.
You know, like, waste management, you can kind of hit it anywhere and be all right. You're going to get booed, but that's it. And that's why you get all jacked up.
Hunter Huncho on Instagram. Thank you, Hunter. What's the biggest... This is a great question, by the way. I really appreciate you, Hunter. What's your biggest pet peeve from amateurs in pro-ams?
Oh, the guys who try way too hard.
Okay.
Like, or sorry, they can try hard. They want me to try hard. Like, hey, you know, you're even. And it's like, okay. Like,
so they tell right. you where
like,
you're at.
They want you to, like, try a lot harder. I want them to win. I want to play well, too. The issue is that, and the part that I think everyone needs to get is, no pro in the pro-am has carried their team to victory. When there's strokes involved, we can't do a lot. Like, I've had good pro-am days where I've probably made, you know, a handful of birdies, but none of them matter. I almost never putt in pro-ams because they already have a birdie in
right.
the hole, just with the stroke. So when they start to make it be like, oh, we need you, it's like, okay, man, like, I'm with you. I'm honestly so happy that they're there. And I think we, Joe and I, do a pretty good job of entertaining and having fun. But if you want me to play my best on Wednesday, you have it backwards. Because I, no offense, would rather play well on Thursday than on Wednesday. But I still want you to win. I want us to win. If we're in the thick of it, I mean, I read pretty much all the putts. Joe reads almost all their putts. Like, we are in it for you to have the best day ever. So don't look at me like I need to now play my best, because that then it becomes kind of unfair.
You know what? I'm not trying to peak Wednesday.
Yeah,
afternoon.
Right here. But I'm going to try to help you peak.
Right,
that's the thing. Is like, we do our best.
Do
like,
you get any? Do pros get anything if your team wins the pro-am?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I know on the web tour you got a little something if you got like top five. Corn Ferry Tour. Well, when I was on the web tour, it was actually really funny one time because I used to post it and there was a massive tie for first or second, and like everybody split this amount of money that came out to like $6.80 a guy. It was like this huge tie for like fifth, so that was funny. But yeah, the problems I feel like we have fun, but yeah, it's not fun when you're going to take it super serious, especially because I think the teams that win it just cheat the best or sandbag the best,
right? Like, it's like scrambles.
I don't know how it works.
Like scrambles.
Yeah,
when's the last time you played in a 4-person scramble that wasn't a PGA Tour?
Oh, I know it.
or Corn Fairy affiliate.
Hey, we're back. Shout out Stevie F. Baby. He invited me to a charity event. Third of eight shout outs. Him, Matt Kaminsky, Kyle Delgado. They're three of my buddies from home.
Spitting out the names.
Well, I mean, these people were like
your best friends.
Some of my best friends.
Shocking to your best friends. What's
won.
When you do the programs, do you write down the guy's name somewhere so you can remember?
Oh,
their
yeah.
Names?
You write Shane.
Blue shirt.
Big calves. Swings hard. Shane.
494.
Yeah, you do something to remember it. I want to ask you this because you caddied, and I feel like you have really good stories. But from Mike Miller, simplest name.
Golly.
What's your favorite, funniest caddy story?
Well, I told a couple of caddy stories last time. I caddied for a good friend of mine, Erica Blasberg, on the LPGA Tour one time. She was about to take it back. I mean, she is over the ball, about to go, and I realized that I'd added the number instead of subtracted it. And so she had 4 iron in her hand when she needed to have 7 or 8. Like, yeah. I had done the wrong, and I called her on.
Oh, you did call her.
I called her
well,
on.
Well, that's something.
There were trees and trash behind the green, and I was like, Erica. And she walked over. You know, she's a little rattled because she was literally about to pull it back. And she walked over to me. And I mean, I'm a friend caddying for, right? I'm not some pro caddy that does this for a living. I'm some schmuck that she asked to help her out. And I walked over. I go, yeah, that's my bad. I did the really 142.
At least you caught it.
It was like 178 or 140. So it was like the number was 140.
Hey, dude, math is hard, man.
Well, it wasn't even the math. It was the actual symbol.
Okay, well, that's also hard.
I was using the plus and minus, and I did the wrong thing.
That's why. So Joe and I always do our numbers together because
you never want to do that.
And I've messed up, and he's messed up. I am getting news, Shane. And I'm sorry I was texting while you were speaking, but I think they canceled 4 more tour events, which I guess we could have seen coming, but this does make me back-to-back champion of the Wells Fargo.
Did it get canceled officially?
Yeah. 4 tour events, PGA postponed, USGA qualifiers.
Do you think, so now you get to be the champion for another year?
Can I tell you a super bummer about that? Just personally, again, guys, I understand this is a very small problem in the big thing. Next year's Wells Fargo is not played at Quail Hollow. It's played at TPC Potomac.
Oh,
so that sucks. But
that's a bummer.
Hopefully we will be playing. Just any golf would be much appreciated at this moment.
Sorry, this is real time messaging.
This is real life. This is crazy, here. Man. I wonder when we're going to play golf again. All right. Speaking of golf, segue number 4 or 5. This is from Mark the Godfather. Nice name. Biggest tip for junior golfers and parents to invest time and resources between ages 12 and 16. Asking for tourneys, equipment, lessons. How much time on course versus range, goal, college golf, and see what happens. Mark, I get this question a lot too. It's a tough answer because I want your kid to play the best golf ever. I want them to go to the best college they can go to. I want them to not have to pay for it. At the same time, your kid needs to love golf.
Right.
So if you push them, there's horror stories and they're abundant of the kids who finally go to college, their parents finally can't be on them, and then they quit and they don't spiral necessarily in a negative way, but their golf spirals and then it's over. It has to be organic. This sports world, athletics, it takes a lot of commitment of time from a very young age, so that it requires love of the game or whatever game you choose. So it's very difficult for me when I hear parents say, I want my kid. Yeah, okay, I get it. You want them. But like, that's not how this works. Hard work gets you very far, but at some point that kid's going to be on his or her own, and they need to then decide, do I even like this enough to do this on my own now? Like, do I want to do this, or was it because my dad or mom said, this is what I want from you?
Well, and I think you and I went on a hike today, and we were talking a little bit about how we were both kind of the types of people that played other sports, and golf was our main focus when we got into high school. And you were telling me a story about you playing with two guys in a junior event, and you shot like 80-80, and they both shot under par, and you asked them after how many days a week or a month they practice, and
yeah,
they
said every day,
you.
Like laughing at me, and I basically maybe went once a week in between soccer and football and basketball practice. The thing about like the love of the game, of any game, if you know, everyone has someone in their life they love, and if they came up to you and said, I need something from you, you would go as fast as you could to go do that thing if you truly love that person. Well, it's same in golf. If you love golf, I love golf. I love what I do. Golf tells me quite often, hey man, you better get to work on your short game or your driver or your putting. So what do? I go practice that. So you have to have that inside you. Like you can't put that inside somebody. So there's also no answer to, yeah, go tell your 12-year-old to go hit balls for 6 hours and putt for 1 hour and chip for, like, it's all fluid. It's all flowing. It changes all the time. Maybe they hit the ball really well and they don't need to practice their ball striking too much, but they need to chip. Like, it's all, there's no blueprint for this. That's why everyone enjoys watching it and watching the success stories of so many people. Some people peak when they're 18. Some people start to get better right around Q school when they turn pro. There's no answer to setting somebody up for success. Obviously, I think it starts with the love of it, because that produces practice and a grind and a commitment to try to excel as much as you can in the sport.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. This is a great question from John Kubisa. He said, I hope it's included. Well, John, good news. It's included. There you go. We're so proud of you. If you had to get into a fight with one golf club, which golf club would you choose for said battle? So you get one club to fight.
Oh, it's my weapon.
It's like Anchorman. I mean, you're in, like, you're Anchorman. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, touching of the hair or face.
Yeah, yeah. But you're showing up and you get one club. What are you going to go with?
I feel like you go.
Actually, let's do it a different way. I'm gonna do it a different way. I want you to eliminate clubs before you get to the one you choose. So let's
drivers,
let you...
driver, three-wood are out.
Okay,
because they're any club with a graphite shaft to me is out, because my move immediately is snapping it in half and using the pointy side like a sword or knife. So I'll use, you know, I guess my longest iron, because then I have the longest reach.
So four iron.
No, I have a 3-iron with a metal. 3-iron, snap it as close as I can to the head. Stab. that's my action.
Now
forward thrust.
I'm in my mind thinking of you and I in a fight for our lives with one golf club each.
Are we fighting each other?
Well, no. That's John didn't ask that. He's a little more civil than that. But if I'm fighting you and you're breaking your iron in half and I've decided to go with driver, I'm at the advantage. I could just smoke you with driver. You're not gonna be able
from
to get
distance.
To, yeah, you're not gonna be able to get to me with your two broken irons.
I will tell you, I'll break this down for you how this happens. You're gonna swing. I'm gonna get close enough where it's gonna break over my arm, not the head. You're gonna miss me with the head of it. It's gonna get too close. And now as I'm close, you know what happens, Shane? Stab.
Without your brilliant idea of the snapping the club, I want to go sand wedge 9-iron. I feel like,
yeah, it has the leading edge on the sand wedge.
Gonna hurt.
Yeah. Well, so my putter has the
oh, the fangs
in the back, and that's just stab, but like worse stab. Like stab in the back of the head. Stab.
By the way, I just want to say, great question, John. And that's why
we knew people, that was gonna get us all excited.
That's why people come here. I'm gonna go back to back just because this guy's name is so great, and you're still going through your phone. This is from @golftacos. I want to ask this guy where that came from. I mean, what's the love first, golf or tacos? What's your favorite course outside of your home state? And there's a secondary question to this. What tour player plays the fastest out on the tour? I'm going to let you answer the fast tour player first, then we'll both get into the golf course thing.
Matt Jones is the fastest, although Taylor Gooch is right behind him, and Sam Burns as well. The fastest player I've ever played with is Adam Svensson. I have multiple times hit my ball. I don't have great eyes. Ball's been... up by the green, and I'll look at my caddy and say, hey, is that, and he will hit like right behind me, and I'll apologize, and he just doesn't care at
he
all
care.
He's the best to play with, but Matt Jones is really fast. Those three get it moving.
What's your favorite course outside of your home
outside
state?
Of like California, right? For me, this is unfair. California has all the best courses. My favorite course outside of California, gosh, that's a great question.
What you're gonna pick.
What would you think I'm gonna pick?
I think you're gonna go with National.
Yeah, you're right. National's my favorite, just because it's so unique. It also felt like this hugely exclusive event, so it kind of put itself on a pedestal. I love Quail Hollow. It has great memories for me, but National, I think, is... I've answered a question similar to this with National as, if you had to play one course for the rest of your life, what would it be? So only you just have to keep repeating and it would be national, because the way the wind switches, you basically play two different courses, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. So I think that's cool.
So I'll go two parts here. I'll go my favorite private, and then I want to go favorite public, because great. I feel like it's worth mentioning. You and I are kind of, we like public golf
Love
courses.
Love public,
I mean,
golf
it's
courses.
Awesome.
I wish I had played more in other states, so I had like a good reference.
Agreed. I mean, that, one of the benefits that I had, especially early in my career when I was a little bit of a younger man, I got a chance to go check these places out and see them. You know, I've played Cypress Point, and it's, you know, I just think it's unreal. I think the 1 through 18, it's so different. It's three
so
golf courses.
BS. You get to use the Monterey Peninsula, and just because it's my home state.
Because you're not in California. Sorry, bro. You're out. Have you played Cypress?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. And then Audubon Park in New Orleans.
Oh, I've heard about that one.
Oh, my goodness. I fell in love. DJ Pyowski and I worked on a project with Avis. And I think Smartin was with us. I think Smartin was with us, and we did 72 and 72, where we went and played a whole. We played four golf courses in 4 days in certain places. We did Denver and New Orleans, and DJ and I. And, you know, DJ is an introspective guy, and he loves. I feel like he's the guy that when you're looking at a hole, he's looking at everything else
sure.
around it. And
sometimes he should just be looking.
Sometimes it would help if he was looking at the hole. Depends on how much money's on the line. But him and I just remember we walked off Audubon, and we both, it was like we'd seen something we'd never seen.
Yeah,
before.
That's something cool.
We'd never felt. Yeah. There was music playing. You know, I'm a big jazz person. New
was
Orleans.
There actually, or did you guys just hear the same song?
I was playing it on my phone. Yeah. I just had it deep in my bag, so it sounded like it was far away. But we had this argument the other night, a couple of buddies and I. I think New Orleans might be my favorite city in the world.
Well, that's crazy, Shane. I think it might be my least favorite.
You hate New Orleans.
It's crazy that, again, we're going back to this Diet Dr. Pepper thing. I don't like New Orleans. I also have never been there for even three good weather days in a row. It smells like pee. And listen,
it doesn't
I'm not
smell
judging.
Great.
It doesn't smell great.
It doesn't smell. I mean, no, there's a. Listen, you're not offending anyone by saying New Orleans doesn't smell great.
And I'm not trying to offend
New
anybody.
Orleans understated.
I'm not
smell
trying
great.
To offend anybody. You know, my hometown could be your least favorite city. But the thing is, I've just had bad experiences there. I've stayed at my hotel experiences have been horrible there. I stayed at one last year where I literally woke up at midnight to my wife saying, Max, 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 Max. And I opened my eyes. And, you know, as you're coming out of sleep, there was a train, which we found out later. The train track was legitimately 18 feet from my window, but it sounded like it was coming into my room. And I have my wife behind me and I'm thinking to myself, what do I do? Like, I'm not prepared for this. Like, people always say I jump in front of a train for you. I realize in that instant that kills both of us, just me a little bit sooner than her. So I've just had bad experiences with New Orleans, but I know a lot of people that love it. I've also never gotten to go there for fun. I've gone there for a golf tournament. So I haven't gotten to see the, I guess the joys that the peace melt city has.
Well, I love the jazz music. I love the vibe. I love the culture.
Yeah. I need to immerse myself in the culture.
You need to go for a non-golf weekend.
Yeah. I'd love like the Saints. I mean, I'd love to go watch that.
We should go for a Falcons Saints game and go see our boy play.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I actually like the Falcons more, Matt. Don't worry. I'm trying to find something positive about the Saints.
we'll go to a set. If the next time the Falcons play, do they play every year in New Orleans?
Yeah.
That's right. They play every year. Let's go next year. We'll go watch. We'll talk to, hey, Matt Ryan, if you're listening, we need tickets.
Yeah, we need two tickets, please.
If you could get them to us, that'd be great.
I have the even better name to say. I don't have to say the last name. Question from Charlie. No last name.
By the way, also that's also you're talking about breaking news coming across.
Oh, no.
Kevin Durant, one of the Nets players that has
no way.
So thoughts to KD and all the Nets players and everybody out there that is dealing with this.
Gosh, this
but that's
is
something that just flashed across the phone.
All right. Well, I guess we should laugh. So we'll laugh. Good or bad, what nicknames did each of you have growing up or still do have?
I was
good or bad.
My football coach in eighth grade called me Shaken Bacon. That was my first email address as well. Shaken_bacon@hotmail.com. That's my first
phenomenal.
One. You know, I went with, we talked about this on the last podcast about fashion choices that we weren't so happy we went with. My first AIM name, did you guys do AIM? Were you?
Oh, yeah.
You venture into that world?
I had two horrendous names.
Mine was Bacon Boy with two Y's. Two Y's.
Boy!
There wasn't Bacon Boy. It was Bacon Boy E.
Yeah, that's kind of sick.
It's not great. Hallie Ledbetter always on me about Bacon
fair.
Boy with two
that's
Y's. It's
fair.
Pretty bad. When I got to college and I realized how dorky it was, I changed it to then. I went the complete opposite way to my full name. You know, my first name's not Shane. It's Benjamin. I was Benjamin S. Bacon was my AIM name. So then I went to like, sounded like I was like a corporate you know,
you're not you anymore.
As a manager.
You're not you anymore. Not everybody knows that Shane's short for Ben.
Right, exactly. So that's a hard thing to be short for. You?
Well, first of all, before I say all my embarrassing ones, I do love when you get, you know, you ask people for their email now, and every once in a while you'll get like the basketball balla, you know, 69, and you're like, dude, you're like 30. And like, I know, like, I just don't want to, like, I haven't gotten around to changing.
You're like, change it, man.
Like, no, you need to change it just in case. My AIM name, my first one was Tiger Woods Fan Addict.
No way.
Fan Addict. Cause like addict, like I'm an addict, but also like fanatic. You know, you get it? Like a play on words. I was clever even when I was younger. And then my next one, almost even more embarrassing considering what my first one was next Tiger Woods 59.
Come on.
Those are my two names.
Come on.
Pretty bad.
Will you do me a huge favor? The first time you're paired with Tiger.
I got to tell him that?
You have to tell him
the
story.
I will never tell him that.
Wait till the
back. I want Tiger to think I'm cool, man.
Just be like, hey, Tiger, listen, man.
I think I'm nuts.
I want you to understand how much of an impact you've made in my life. Both of my names to start online. Do you think he knows what AIM is?
Yeah, for sure.
No way.
You don't think so?
I don't think he was an AIM guy.
Man, you finally get to call somebody old and look what you're doing.
Get out
of here.
Get out of here.
Well, here, my one nickname that I did have in college, and this feels appropriate this time because I'm trying to do the exact opposite. I got sick my freshman year and ended up infecting basically the entire team slowly, and they named me Reaper, like Grim Reaper. And my teammates still call me Reap, and I loved it. I put on my putters back in the day, but learning from that, I have completely avoided any interaction with anybody as this thing has gone around.
Yes, it's actually been helpful for you to go through all of this situation here with the coronavirus. I got a question on Instagram from E-Town Medic. And if you're a medic, we'll be thinking of you, by the way, E-Town. He said, more for me, because you won't be able to chime in on this as much, but I would like to hear your thoughts if maybe you would like to check off your list. Best destination resort for a 4 to 6 day trip, Bannon, Pinehurst, Cabot, Stream Song, Sand Valley, or on and on he goes. I'm partial to Bannon Dunes. I just feel like they have it all right there, especially with Sheep Ranch opening up. If you haven't seen Fried Egg's videos of Sheep Ranch that he posted, I believe on Tuesday, these drone shots, it is unbelievable. But check that out if you haven't. I'll tweet it out when the episode comes out as well so you can see that. But, you know, Cabot is cool. They're all very hard to get to.
Where is Cabot?
Cabot's in Nova Scotia up in Canada.
That is impossible to get to.
When you are, if you don't have a private plane, it is flying to Halifax and then you are beating the pavement for 4.5 hours. And that helps if my wife is outside right now, so she probably can't help me. That helps if your navigator doesn't tell you that the turn you have to take is coming up.
Happens.
Because we passed the turn and it took another 3 hours. So that was about a 7 hour drive.
Happens.
What's your number one on the list of places you want to go? Bandon
for sure. I just because I know enough about it now to be like, I don't know a lot about Cabot. I know the No Laying Up Boys did a video and it looks sick, but like Bandon feels attainable, possible to do without a ton of effort. While also, like, I've seen pictures of the courses and they look unbelievable.
Underrated spot to go for golf, St. George, Utah. Great,
really
great spot for a trip. You can hunker down either at one of the golf courses or just kind of in the center of the city. But the golf is unreal. The views are great. It's all those red rocks you kind of see in and around Sedona. It's not as beautiful as Sedona, but it's a very pretty spot. That was a great thing. I did a media trip up there a few years ago, and I was kind of blown away. So that is an underrated place outside of the, you know, I've been to Sand Valley. Place is awesome. I've been to Stream Song. It's great. You know, I mean, all these places check the box of what you want. But that, I feel like, is one that doesn't get talked about enough. It's not, you know, you're not at a place and all the courses are there. You have to drive to these different places. But, you know, it's 5 or 10 minute drive and it's pretty easy.
Yeah, so. See, that's
and you can
cool.
find And you can fly to Vegas. You can drive from Vegas, too. So you can do it in and out of Vegas.
I think
well,
that's probably why
nice.
The Bandon is such an appealing one, because you have so many options even when you're there.
And you don't have to drive.
Yeah.
The not driving thing takes your trip. I think it takes it to a new level of peacefulness where you never have to worry about getting in a car. You don't have to worry about, you know, somebody that can't drink beers in this round or whatever. There's a lot of factors that play into that.
I'm obviously a big beer guy, as we saw on the last podcast. So I'm big on the walking between golf course rounds. Here's
by the way, we're at hour 17. We'll do like three or four more.
I do have one worst thing I heard this week.
We'll get to those. Let's do a couple more questions.
Couple more questions. All right.
Let me find a really good one and then we'll go.
Here from Casey Bippert. How important is shot shaping versus being able to only hit the same shot every time? Obviously, no way to quantify what's more important. I think the golf course dictates it. If it's soft, being able to just repeat over and over again, be a kind of a TrackMan machine, is very, very important. If it's firm at all, shot shaping is the most important, because you need to get the ball into the little corners of the greens and segments. That's why you see so many people complain when the golf courses are soft, because it's not as fun to watch for TV because there's no shot shaping. But I do think that that is a skill, to repeat a shot over and over again. Ideally, we would have tournaments that do both, you know, throughout the year, have some variety. But yeah, that's why Riviera is such a great golf course, especially when it was very firm this year, was you're going to watch people have to hit not only solid shots, but they need to be flighted the correct height while also being the correct distance, obviously, while also working towards the correct part of the green. And that to me, that's why people love the Presidents Cup this year. It shows a whole different side of golf. I do think that the repeating is important, but it just depends how the weather sets up for the event that week.
Question from Min. I feel like it's Min here. This is for you, and I'm interested in this as well. What's the coolest quote unquote door that being a professional athlete or golfer has opened for you in your pursuit of what you basically did last year?
Oh yeah, it's got to be the podcast.
By the way, you see my hat?
Shane's got the Get a Grip hat on. It looks great.
Thank you, Imperial. You guys sent us some hats. Awesome. We've got tees on the way. We're going to send out. Max is going to use them on tour.
Or just, you know, whenever.
Hey, if you use
because I'm not allowed to play golf for a while.
If you use the get a, if you go, say the tees get in the bag, okay? And then you go.
Oh, Harlow's coming. Everyone's going to make our first interview, or second interview, Joe to Harlow. They both grunt the same.
If you guys hear a snorting noise coming in, it's our pup. It's my puppy. But if you like missed a couple of cuts with the Get a Grip tees, would they go out, or are you not?
Oh no, I'm not superstitious. Somebody did ask me a question, and I feel like you did too, or they asked you too about being superstitious.
Yeah, I got it right here. Hold on, it's
I'm not though,
and you didn't answer. Doors open. I mean,
doors open. I mean, I've gotten to throw out the first pitch of the Dodger game is the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. Meet some of them. I feel you.
That's Harlow.
meeting some pretty cool athletes. I'm so big on learning more about how to be the ultimate competitor and to get better at my craft. So getting to meet people who are the best at theirs, I think is just really cool and invaluable.
Do you guys talk, like, this is a weird athlete question, but I know you're, first of all, you're very friendly and you get along with a lot of people. That's why you have like 75 best friends. But do you ever discuss stuff with these guys, like a pitcher or a baseball player or somebody, basketball, tennis player, whatever? Do you ever discuss stuff with them? Like, how do you handle X, Y, Z? Or is that never really come up?
No, I try. It depends, you know, how comfortable you are with them and they are with you. I mean, I was very fortunate to be able to talk with Aaron Rodgers about it. You know, that was the most I've ever learned in my life about golf. And this is from someone who doesn't play it. He is really understands both golf and obviously just being competitive and a competitor. So I finally sucked it up after a few days and was like, I'm going to ask him something about what he thinks the link between golf and football and just being great at sports is. So or even just successful in life. So that was really cool. But it just depends your level. I mean, I like to talk to pitchers about the repetition. I think pitching and golf is super similar, not only in just like the mechanics of how their legs work, but in the mindset I think it takes. It's you against somebody, and you could say it's you against the batter, and I know that it is a little bit, but it's also you against you, a lot like golf is. You need to play the situation. It's you against the golf course. You're playing the situation, you're hitting the right shot or throwing the right pitch, and you have to know that your best pitch or your best shot is good enough to get it going. And it's like, you're the one with the ball in your hand. So I think that's cool. So I try to talk to pitchers here and there about stuff like that, but I'm not gonna like berate somebody with questions, right? But I'll feel it out. If they ask me something about golf, I'm asking them something about their sport.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just always, you know, I've always wondered what the conversations are like between, you know, back in the day when Tiger and Federer would talk.
Yeah.
It's gotta be interesting. Was it just them slapping each other? I'm reading the Bam Booker book right here about Tiger. I believe it almost is either out or soon. The Second Life of Tiger Woods.
Wow. And I'm gonna
have Michael Bamberger on the clubhouse next week to talk about it. So download that podcast if you don't already. But I was reading about it, and you know, a lot of the way he is very bro-y, you know, the way he talks to guys and stuff. But I just wonder if there was ever a time where, you know, the greatest of all time had discussions about how they're the greatest, and I'm sure they did.
Yeah, that they have to have. I always thought that if I had 5 minutes, 10 minutes with Kobe Bryant, just to, and I could get asked anything I wanted, I felt like I could have been, I would have learned so much. Because I do believe that if you frame the question the right way, I think they blend. I think each sport transcends into each sport in some mental capacity. It's not going to be uniform, but I do think that there's something that translates across. And I think that if you took the best of all time in all their respective sports, I bet you they are super similar in how they prepare or how they think.
So we're going to go to flights. We don't have a whole bunch of them. I got a bad idea. Do you want to hear my bad idea?
Wait, are you superstitious? Just, you don't even have to
answer. I used to be more on the golf course. You know, I would do the tails. I feel like I got suckered into the superstition stuff by reading and hearing what
like
other people did.
Yeah, you're just like, I feel like baseball players are supposed to be superstitious.
Right, you go. No, I've read that you're supposed to do this. By the way, my dog is now trying to feed me her toy. And so if you hear awkward noises in the last few minutes of this podcast, it's just our French bulldog.
So you have a bad idea?
Yeah, I got a bad idea. But I want to say, I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, and I got one. I wanted to get a 1964 quarter to mark balls with because my son was born on 6/4/19, 1964.
That's nice.
And so I found one. I've been using it.
So it's not superstitious. It's just like a good memento.
It's just kind of something to do.
Good vibes.
You know? There's little things in your golf bag, I feel like. What's the weirdest thing you have in your golf bag? What's the weirdest thing that's consistently in your golf bag?
Joe's hands, probably. Just that's always weird. No, I don't really have anything odd.
Nothing.
In
no
there,
trainer, no... You know, no rub, no like snack.
Oh, I guess I used to have cortisone cream in there because I went up against a plant and I got itchy. And I was like, I need this in here just in case I could stop scratching. And I used to have a new skin, that thing in there. But I guess that's not weird.
Yeah. I mean, and also it's like you use that once.
Like I can make. Yeah. It's like once in a blue moon.
So here's my bad idea. You ready for it?
Yeah, I've actually been excited about this since this morning.
This is about coronavirus. And okay. This is about what we're going through right
topical.
Now. It's topical. So, you know, all the PGA Tour, LPGA, all this stuff's postponed. We're waiting it out. We'll see when it happens. Obviously, for very good reason that all this stuff is postponed. So all of golf in general, nationwide, anything going on is not happening. So I was thinking about it. We do a stay-at-home golf tournament. Okay. It's $100 to sign up. And this is kind of a drunk idea, but I wasn't drunk when I thought about it. Or, you know, I mean, you could probably factor in anything.
I'm an expert.
Anything. You could factor in anything that's going to manipulate your brain. So it's $100 to play in our golf tournament. Okay. We send out the course that we're playing, the tees, slope. You know, we could send out pictures online of what the holes look like so you get a feel for what you're going to play. And then we do a whole location sheet every day. And then you have to just email in what you think you would have shot. And then that's how we pick the winner.
It's a horrible.
So it's $100. No, it's about trust. We're leaning on
you've met other people,
the general
right?
public, to be honest. This is the time.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Trusting, we couldn't even trust people not to go to the bar when the president of the United States said,
so listen,
don't congregate.
You go, you know, if you're a guy like me, my miss is left. Typically, it's golf course, there's a whole bunch of water left. I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to probably hit a couple in water. All right, I'm going to shoot 76 the first day. You know, like super tucked pins. And we also, by the way, send out the weather. So it's, you know, today it's blowing 40. And so, I mean, you're not going
to
shoot.
I can't wait to say, okay, Shane, you need to give me $100. You get none of this back if you lose. Now, what do you think you shot? And you tell me 76. There is not a
chance
in the world.
I'm being honest with you, bro.
Right now, because there's actually no money.
I was going to give you $100 if you'd have got the 2008 first round leaders up there and you couldn't nail that down.
Difficult.
You couldn't
question.
Nail that down. By the way, we're going to do something. Tell me if you're down with this. We got these Imperial Get a Grip hats and we've got a few. We don't have a whole bunch. We've probably got 20. If you haven't rated and reviewed the podcast yet, rate and review it on Apple.
Just do it.
Screen grab it when you review it.
Be a friend.
Tweet it at Max and I.
Sure.
And we're going to pick one person that does that. We'll send you a hat and some stickers. And Matt, do you have anything to sign? Can you sign anything? What's a weird thing you can sign?
What's a weird thing I could sign? I could try to sign a T. Won't be able
we don't
to
have
read
any
it.
T's
yet. Oh, we don't have them yet. I'll sign a... I don't want to sign the Get a Grip hat. I guess I could... We could sign a Get a
you
Grip
You know what?
Hat.
I have an idea. Fair. Here's the deal. I will take a picture of you being weird, and I'll print it out, and you sign that picture.
Okay, that's... It's very fair. I don't know if I love this circulating around people.
No. It'll be a PC picture.
Listen,
we'll take a picture of Max. He's got a mustache right now. We'll take that picture.
Hey guys, it's thick. Four C's.
So we'll do that. So rate and review it. Tweet it at Max and I. We'll pick somebody. We'll send you a little Get a Grip goodie bag. Since everybody's, you know, we're all at home. We're all just waiting this thing out. We'll try to. And I've been sending stickers out. I mean, if you want a sticker, go to the Get a Grip Instagram account. All you got to do is literally direct message that account and say, "Hey man, can I get a sticker?" And I'll mail it to you the next day. And I got the envelopes that don't lick. I got the peel off ones.
Hey, nice way to do your part.
I'm trying. All right, you have.
I have the worst thing I heard this week, and I heard it multiple times.
Yeah, go ahead.
I tweeted out the other day, this quarantine, has really taken a toll on what I've been watching on TV. And I'm going to be completely honest. I've watched these shows, quarantine or not, just not back to back to back to back, but I was watching The Real Housewives with my wife.
Right.
We were catching up on all the episodes that she had saved. And I tweeted about it. Obviously, I think a lot of husbands are without sports or watching shows that they haven't
of course.
Really binged before.
I'm really into Love is Blind right now.
Love is Blind.
Deep
yeah.
into it right
I
now.
I fortunately fell asleep every time we watched it, and it's over, and I missed it.
You know what? You can sleep through it. It's fine.
Perfect. I was there for it.
It's entertaining either way.
Perfect. So I had a lot of people tell me, I had a handful of guys tell me, turn in your man card for watching
worst.
These TV shows or you know, more crude things. And I want you guys to know that I personally do believe that the manliest thing you can do is to appease your wife, especially after you make her watch sports all the time.
All the time.
My wife walks 72 holes of golf almost every week. And then I get home and I watch golf.
Right.
Or I watch basketball. So yeah, you know what? I watch The Housewives every once in a while. But you as a husband or just as a dude in general, it's a two-way street here. Like you don't get to just watch whatever you want to watch without having to watch some junk here and there.
How many of those people that are commenting to you of those guys are for sure watching the same stuff.
Yeah, then they probably are watching the same stuff.
You know what this is? You know what the 2020 golf equivalent of this is? Is anyone that bashes push carts.
Yeah.
Oh, push cart. Yeah. Why are you not carrying it? You're like, well, I like my back.
And to each their own.
Push carts are awesome.
Yeah, to each
you know what
their
I like to do? I like carrying. I like riding.
I'd rather carry.
I like push carts. I like all three. Yeah. I don't have any hate.
I'm not
going to
bash somebody for
what are you
not
doing over
carrying
there?
Their back.
By the way, I played in a British Open qualifier, like one of the local version of their qualifiers a few years ago. Carried my bag. First hole, I'm looking around. I am the only guy at the golf course
without
carrying his bag.
Yeah, because they just do it different.
Everybody is pushing. I actually have a question to go with what you just mentioned. This is our last question from our listeners and followers. Davis Ian 95. Worst TV show you love? I feel like you might have just mentioned what it was, but I mentioned. What is the worst TV show that you absolutely love watching not scared to admit it?
Okay. I really like watching Southern Charm.
Okay. I don't do Southern Charm. You get your Twitter buddies with one of the guys on that.
I played the BMW a few years ago on the then web.com tour with Shep Rose, and I actually don't dislike that show. I don't hate The Housewives, but here's the thing. I don't really like the shows. I like the reunions.
Okay.
Because the reunions is just like it's like the All-Star game. No, it's like the dunk contest. Everything you're seeing is just an absolute stimulator. Like you are just like constantly, like your jaw's on the ground. You can't believe what people are saying to other people. It's just constant action. Whereas like the regular episodes, it's like game 43 of the NBA season. It's like, okay, like good game. Nothing crazy unless somebody does what, you know, maybe LeBron does a 360 dunk. You're like, wow, what a cool moment in that game. The dunk contest is just constant action. So I'm also trying to relate all these shows to sports.
Yeah.
Like remind myself how much I love them. Yeah, just to feel a little bit
tougher.
Sporty. Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's okay. Again, you're embracing the fact that this is a part of your life and it's okay. I've said it plenty of times. I mean, I just love The Bachelor.
I used to love The Bachelor, and it's Bachelor in Paradise. I was huge.
So
on that
it's
show.
Weird. I
had never watched.
I don't
it
get into Bachelor
oh my
Paradise.
God, it's I'm way out on Bachelor.
So it's Bachelor Paradise is just a little too much drama, and it's a little too much of. I'm not looking at The Bachelor to be too serious. Obviously, I'm trying
to
laugh and to be entertained.
Oh, I'm trying to learn.
You're learning. This is like it's like really really deep in. But I. My Apple Watch is yelling at me. Why did your Apple? You don't have an Apple Watch, do you?
Wow, another brag by Shane. Another Brian.
Now my wife is coming in to we just talked, Harlow. By the way, you just missed about a 10 or 15 minute conversation about all of the terrible TV that we watch with you guys.
Because we love you guys.
That's right. That's right. We're going to wrap up. Anything else you got?
I got nothing else.
Anything you, there's not really much to plug.
Yeah, there's nothing to plug. I'm not playing anytime soon. Shane's not playing anytime soon. We're pretty much just plugging the U.S. Open rewatch, the watch party.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. That's the last thing. Good call. 2008 play. U.S. Open, full final round on YouTube. Thank you, USGA. That happens Saturday. This Saturday, do we have the date is on the Saturday? Is that the 21st?
21st.
Do you know that? Did you know that off? Like my buddy Rusty does that. Can you do that right off?
Not usually, but I have to do something in 20 seconds. Okay.
What's next Saturday? Not this Saturday. What's next Saturday date?
28th.
Nice. All right. That's really good.
I just added 7.
Well, I know, but I mean, you're ready. You did say you're good at math. You should be a caddy. we're doing that. 5 p.m. Eastern. That's the 08 U.S. Open. It's on YouTube. I will tweet out the link. We're going to have, I mean, this is like professional. We have graphics being made for our watch show. And it's going to be, there's going to be a second screen experience. Unfortunately, it's being watched on the second screen unless you have like a Roku or Apple TV or something you can watch on your main TV. But even if you don't, we're going to be watching it at 5 p.m. Eastern. We want you to join us. And then we'll do the playoff on Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, Tiger versus Rocco. And we're just going to have fun, watch it, and just gives us something to look forward to.
I might show up in all red and black.
On Sunday. You can't, don't do it. I'll look and see what
you
wore.
I might do a bow. Tiger
did
both days.
Did he have, no. I think on Saturday he had blue on. That was when he made the two eagles, right?
Yeah, that's the actual Saturday round, bro.
I know, but we're watching on Saturday. You can't be, you might need to wear what he wore on Saturday on Saturday.
We'll take this offline. I need to figure this out.
This will be a 45-minute conversation.
I'm watching the guy in red and black. I might have to.
Did you ever rock the red following in Tiger's footsteps? Did you ever go red in the final round?
Did you not?
I don't think I did ever. I was always a field guy. I was left-handed.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
I grew true. Up a field guy.
I had to stop once I got to Cal because Cal
isn't red.
Stanford is the red and black. so I had to very quickly halt that.
We are big fans of all you guys out there sending questions. Thank you so much. Make sure you follow at Get a Grip Pod on Instagram. Follow Max on all of his platforms. MaxHoma23, Max.Homa on Instagram. And I'm Shane Bacon everywhere. And we appreciate it. Rate and review the show. We're going to send out a goodie bag to somebody out there. And we'll be back on Monday. We haven't really planned what we're going to do for the Monday show. We might have a guest. We might have a guest for Monday's show. We're working on it. But we're going to keep churning these things out. We're probably going to do a couple a week just to give you guys something because it's fun for us to do it as well. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for being fans of what we're doing.
Please wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Wash them right now. Bye. Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.